Well, that was a bit strange for us to have other people reading the Torah without being in the room. So, Yah is good. Before I bring my message today, which is being taken from Bereshit, let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah this day. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Yehovah, because you are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. What I want to touch on today is being separated for prayer. And when we look at Yaakov, and we go to Bereshit 32 and verse 24. Have you got that up? And Yaakov was left alone. Then some men wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he did not defeat Yaakov, he struck Yaakov's hip socket so that his hip was dislocated while wrestling with him. The man said, "Let me go because it's daybreak." But Yaakov replied, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." And the man asked, "What's your name?" And he answered, "Yaakov." Then the man said, "From now on you will no longer be called Yaakov, but Israel, because you have shown your strength to both Yehovah and men and have prevailed." Yaakov asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he answered, "Why are you asking about my name?" And he blessed him there. So, the first thing I want to discuss is solitude, purely and simply because Yaakov went to a place by himself and he was in a state of solitude. Yaakov had a large family, plus servants who looked after the animals and who looked after his wives and his children, as well as those that had come with him. So why would Yaakov choose to be all alone? I suppose when you're a man with so many people around you, you like some time by yourself. I know even me, I love my time alone. But when you think of solitude, what do you think of that you used to spend a lot of time alone? And was that person's reason for solitude? Are you alone at the moment? Are you there by choice for solitude, or do you think that you need others around you but don't have it? So let us look first at the word and what it says about solitude. The first time we see Yaakov seeking solitude, Yehovah came to talk with him in Bereshit chapter 28 and verse 11. It says he came to a certain place and stayed the night there, because the sun had set. He took a stone from the place, put it under his head, and lay there to sleep. He dreamt that there before him was a ladder resting on the ground with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of Yehovah were going up and down on it. Then suddenly Yehovah was standing there next to him, and he said, "I am Yehovah, your Elohim, the Elohim of Abraham, your grandfather, and the God of Yitzhak, on the land which you are lying. I will give it to you and to your descendants." And in today's reading, then some men wrestled with him until daybreak. This man is also known as an epiphany. Some people might like to call it an angel. But an epiphany is a revelatory manifestation of a divine being. It can be an angel of Yehovah, or even a manifestation of Yehovah himself. And often, more often, it's often Yeshua. Yaakov was left with a limp when he walked from the rest of which he walked with for the rest of his life after this encounter. And this would have been a constant reminder to him of the result of living in fear as well as a reminder to live according to the promises given to him. Yaakov was an extremely blessed man, and yet he still showed the shortcomings of humanity. He'd gone to this solitude place because he was in fear of his brother. Let's have a look at another example of epiphany found in Shoftim Judges, verses 13 and verse 9. And Yehovah paid attention to what Manoach said. The angel of Elohim came again to the woman as she sat in the field, but her husband Manoach wasn't with her. This woman, the wife of Manoach, was also alone when the angel appeared to her. Solitude is a place that we must go to so that we can meet Yehovah Elohim. He will always meet you at your point of need, but it's up to you to go to that quiet place and spend time with him so that he can meet with you. Now, there are other times in the Word where we are called to a place of solitude. So let us look at what King David says in Tehillim Psalms 55 and verse 2. Listen, Yehovah, to my prayer. Don't hide yourself from my plea. And in verse 7 of the same chapter, he says, yes, I would flee to a place far off. I would stay in the desert. King David would go into the wilderness to seek solitude and to pray. And Yirmiyahu or Jeremiah longs for solitude to remove himself from a godless people. If we go to Yirmiyahu chapter 9 and verse 2, or 1 in the King James Version. I wish I were in the desert in some traveller's lodge. Then I could get away from my people and distance myself from them. Indeed, they are all adulterers, a band of traitors. That is what they are. Now, Yirmiyahu is known as the weeping prophet. He spent his time weeping over the sinful people who would not listen to counsel or change their ways. He was a man who spent most of his time in solitude with no one to talk to but Yehovah. Then, of course, we have the greatest example of all when it comes to solitude. And it's in Luke 5 and verse 16. And it speaks of Yeshua and says, however, he made a practice of withdrawing to remote places in order to pray. When we are in times of need, we are at a place of distress, anxiety, feeling hopeless in our situation, there is only one thing left to do. We need to seek the face of Yehovah. We need to do that by getting alone with him. Maybe you have to shut yourself in your bedroom for a few hours. If you can, it is better to go to a quiet place in a natural setting and just spend time with Yehovah. I know that we are so blessed to live here on the Gold Coast. We can go to a quiet place by the ocean, or we can take a drive to the many places of solitude in the hinterland that has endless numbers of parks and waterfalls and babbling brooks, and appreciate Yehovah's creation, a place where we can get close to him and pray and talk to him. I know there were many times in my life before Malachi came into my life that I would spend times in solitude. And of course, I preferred that because I've always maintained that me, myself and Yehovah get on very well together, and I didn't believe I needed anyone else. But Yehovah changed that when he put Malachi in my life. What I want to look at now is to go through the prayers of private devotions of Yeshua, because he is a good example of how we should live. And there's no point in being in solitude unless we go there to meet with our Elohim. The best way to do this is in prayer, even in fasting if you're medically fit to do so. And Yeshua is a good example of getting alone to pray, and we should emulate that. So let us look at a few ways in which he prayed. Number one, there were morning devotions. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, it said, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." He was always up before dawn while it was still dark. It's strange because it's a practice that I have always done. Now that I'm retired, I'm not up before dark, but I was while I was working. But the first thing I do every morning in my life is to open up his word and then pray. Then, of course, there's evening prayer. In Mark 6, 45 to 47, immediately Yeshua had his Talmudim get into the boat and go ahead of him towards the other side of the lake, towards Bethsaida, before he sent the crowds away. After he left them, and he went to the hills to pray. Then night came, the boat was out on the lake, and he was by himself on the land. After a long, hard day, Yeshua went away and prayed. I don't know about you, but I know I like to pray in the evening before I go to sleep at night, especially when I'm around a lot of people. And I like to ask him to perfect my words in case I've offended someone or they've misconstrued what I meant. And that's not hard to do when it comes out of my mouth. So after a long, hard day, it's really good to pray, thank him for the day, and ask him to perfect everything you've done. And the third thing that I think Yeshua was very prevalent at was solitary communion. In Luke 5, 15 and 16, it says, "But the news about Yeshua kept spreading all the more, so that huge crowds would gather to listen and be healed of their sicknesses. However, he made," that is Yeshua made, "a practice of withdrawing to remote places in order to pray." I don't know about Yeshua, but I know that when I spend a lot of time in ministry, I'm feeling drained. I like to be alone. I like to go at a quiet place where I can just renew my strength and get with him. It's just so natural for me to do, because people, noise, smells and things like that really deplete me of energy. And it's amazing the things that I have done and didn't realize Yeshua was doing them until I've looked back later on in life. Of course, Yeshua even had all-night prayer. In Luke 6 and verse 12, it says, "It was around that time Yeshua went out to the hill country to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to Yehovah." Have you ever prayed all night? I have. The person I was praying for was virtually raised from the dead the next morning. He had been in a coma for 6 weeks. There was no hope for him. All his organs were shutting down. And the hospital had told us they would turn the machines off in the morning. I received a phone call at 8 o'clock the next morning, telling me to stop praying. He no longer needed dialysis. He no longer needed the machines to keep him alive. And there was some miracle, they don't know what, but everything was working normally. He was put the next day into a normal ward and was home within the week. Only Yehovah can do that. But if we take the time to pray for those that really need us, to pray for every situation, to spend time alone with Yah, he answers our prayers. And there were times in Yeshua's life that only his Talmudim were near. And how do I know they were near? They could hear him praying. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 18, once when Yeshua was praying in private, his Talmudim were with him. And he asked them, "Who are the crowds saying I am?" So he was praying, but they were close enough to ask and answer questions. And of course, once again in the Garden of Gethsemane, or in Gat Shamanim, in Luke 22, verses 41 to 42, it says, Yeshua went about a stone's throw away from them. So I don't know how far they could throw the stone, but it was a stone's throw away. He kneeled down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing to take this cup away from me, still not my will, but yours be done." Yeshua was at his lowest point, having those around him who loved him and whom he loved the most, still chose solitude and prayer to his Father as he submitted to death. And this couldn't have been a quiet prayer. Even though it was a stone's throw away, his Talmudim must have heard the prayer for them to be able to quote it. Yeshua's example leads us to a place where whatever circumstance or situation we are in, we should ask ourselves, what would Yeshua do? Then go to the Word and meditate on it. You know, it doesn't matter what you open up, Yeshua will speak to you through it. And that to me leads me to my third point of meditation. Meditation is a characteristic of the spiritual mind. It's not something that comes naturally, but it is definitely what all believers in Yeshua HaMashiach are called to do. So let us come to some scriptures to prove my point. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, and I'm sure this would have been the second scripture, well, certainly wasn't the first that I ever memorized. The first were the famous words of Ruth in Ruth chapter 1 verse 16, which was, I memorized this as a young child. "Don't press me to leave you and stop following you, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your Elohim will be my Elohim." This scripture reinforced to me that it did not matter whether I was accepted by my Jewish family or not, but as a Jewish believer in Yeshua, no person would take my ancestry from me. But back to Yehoshua chapter 1 and verse 8. I learnt this also at a very young age. "Yes, keep this book of the Torah on your lips and meditate on it day and night, so that you will take care to act accordingly to everything written in it. Then your undertakings will prosper and you will succeed." And I believe my life is proof of that. The book of the Torah is the first five books of the Bible as we know it today, a part of which is completely swept under the carpet in most Christian churches, and as they see it as law, but they don't see it as the promises and the instructions of Yehovah. What a scripture to meditate on. What a scripture to teach your children from a very young age. I believe that I am who I am today because of that scripture. So I'm going to repeat it. Yes, keep this book of the Torah on your lips and meditate on it day and night, so that you will take care to act according to everything written in it. Then your undertakings will prosper and you will succeed. That's a promise that you can rely on, because that's straight out of Yehovah's word. And if we go to Tehillim and Psalms, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, it says, you can be angry, but do not sin. Think about this, or meditate about this, as you lie in bed, and calm down. Don't hold on to your anger. That's what we should do when we are angry. Don't stay in the situation. Walk away. Separate yourself from it. Go to a place of solitude and meditate on Yehovah's word so that you can calm down. This time of the year for those that are in the workforce is extremely stressful, especially when it comes to being expected to participate in things to do with Christmas or being in an environment where Christmas decorations are in your face all day. If there is a time of disagreement, then you can do three things to solve the conflict. One, agree on what the altercation is about. Don't let you statements come in. Stick to the topic. And three, if possible, hold hands. By applying that method to an argument, you cannot sin, and you certainly do not stay angry for long. In Tehillim Psalms 19-14, this is also a prayer I pray as part of my morning devotions, and you've heard me pray it before I speak. And it says, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Yehovah, my rock and my redeemer. I pray that every day because I want to please him, and I want the words that come from my mouth to lift up those that I'm speaking to. And I want to conclude with these final scriptures I'm going to give you in final scripture in three different versions. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, the King James Version will always says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. The Complete Jewish Bible says, be diligent about this work, throw yourself into it, so that your progress may be clear to everyone. And if I go to the Orthodox Jewish Bible, it says, put these things into practice, that your progress in Shomer Masoret, religious devotion, may be manifest to all. So let me conclude with this. I believe that we are so blessed that we do not have to be like Yaakov operating out of fear. We are blessed that we have the word of Yehovah that was not readily available to the patriarchs or the people during the days of the prophets. Yes, the king had the Torah. He had to copy it out when he first came into office. But the everyday person didn't. We are so blessed that we can read the ways of they that all acted and reacted out of fear or lack of fulfillment of promises over many years and learn from their mistakes. We are so blessed to have Yeshua to follow as an example. And last of all, but definitely not least, we are blessed to have the Ruach HaKodesh living within us. He is our comforter, our nurturer, our guide, the one that directs our path and leads us to a place of complete shalom. That doesn't mean that everything's working perfectly in our lives, but it does mean that we have peace during those times. We have a hope. We have a future. We don't need riches. We don't need the things of this world. But we have something that the world can never give or take away from us. And that is that we have Yeshua. And because of him, we have eternal life. So that's my message for today. And we're not going to do the remembrance service. So Malachi and I will now finish with the Aharonic blessing and prayer.